Welcome to the Lesbo and the Bean universe. Lesbo and the Bean. LATB. Lat B. Where mixed martial arts and the UFC get silly. Big silly. Buckle up and move your tray tables to their upright position. And please, somebody shut that baby up. It's time for Lesbo and the Bean.
Welcome back. Episode 120 underway. We got a recap, a rework, rest and relaxation over Saturday night's fight night on FS1 out of Boise. Here at Lat B, I feel like we might have let you guys down a little bit, honestly, by saying quickly that Idaho's judges wasn't something that we had to worry about. That was completely false. We had to worry about the judges a whole hell of a lot that night. At least the Bean thought so. What did the Lesbo think over the judging over the night?
Overall, looking back at it, even if I agreed with some of the winners of the bouts, I still disagreed with every single one of the scores.
The scorecards were
every single one. Even if I agreed, even if we disagreed on who should have won and whether or not we agreed with the judges on certain fights, any way you cut it, we both disagreed with the scorecards all night. So
that's a good point.
I will have to say they're bad judges. Anyway, I want to
all the way around.
Yeah, all the way. That's bad judging. I couldn't. There was. It's like one of the three judges you might agree with their score. That's really bad odds.
That's 100% truth right there. So definitely something we have to watch out for anytime we go to
Hopefully
Idaho.
Hopefully, we're not in Idaho anymore. But then, actually, another thing to think about. The quality of fights on this card were Idaho quality.
Some of them. There was some fun ones.
Definitely. No hate, Idahoans.
I did want to...
Idahoites. What do they call them?
Idaho Knights? I don't know. Are they potato heads?
That's kind of a good... Cheeseheads or Wisconsin potato head. That would be clever.
Right? So, there was some fights, though, over the night. That did make me want to pull my own eyes out of my sockets.
I don't even give a shit. I'm going to say F Idaho and the people from there, because if anyone else watched it, F them. I don't care. The Bee might love you. Lesbo does not. You guys couldn't even show out. I don't know how outpriced the UFC made those tickets.
Good point.
But the front three rows had empty chairs.
In the main event.
I've never seen that.
In the main event.
Main event. Front three rows, empty chairs. I've never seen that. What the hell?
I do think it's a little bit of both, though. UFC overpricing the tickets like they tend to do, as well as not having a rich industrial complex to follow around. I mean, potatoes sell a lot, but you're getting fractions of a cent to the dollar every potato. So people don't have big bucks for those $1,000 seats up in the front row for Dos Santos or, yeah, Santos fucking even off. Like, really, I'm going to pay that much money for that fight? But from the bottom to the top, if you stayed away from this fight, you made a whole lot of money, because it was one of the worst fights all year, honestly. There was a few of those this fight night, and starting out with the rescheduled Aguilar vs. Jody Escobel, this is a double fade from this point out for me on Escobel. Horribly low fight IQ. Aguilar had an okay gas tank going into the third, but... Again,
Were there more punches thrown in this fight or Derek Lewis versus Nagano?
Definitely this fight. There was
just
more.
Saying,
there
just
was
saying,
more.
Haters. But it was an awful fight. I made pizza dough. I was in my kitchen during it.
And that was probably the smartest move of the night. Biggest win of the night, making pizza dough.
If I would have heard any excitement out of Jimmy or John, I would have ran in. But I did not hear any, even someone go, oh, or ah, or a... They started talking about other... Hey, and Ronda Rousey. Yeah, every time there's nothing to talk about, we're going to talk about Ronda Rousey.
This is the truth. One of the biggest things with Escobel that
Speaking
I'm going to have
like
to...
Speaking of like Brendan Schaub and Dana White, every time there's nothing to talk about, we're
we were waiting,
talk about
waiting
Rousey.
To get there.
Well, that's more exciting than
that
this
is more
fight,
exciting,
right?
Especially than this last fight that we ended up seeing. But if you don't know, you haven't heard, Eskimo family coming in the UFC all the way around, Ronda Rousey getting thrown under the bus, shrapnel hitting
her for no reason,
out of nowhere.
She was chilling. She was having a picnic, laying out in the sun, and
she
all of a sudden,
paid.
Yeah,
there you go, right into it. Dana White, officially, supposedly an Eskimo brother, which. We're all jumping to conclusion.
Should we tell, if you don't know, where you been? This is the biggest thing to happen in UFC since, like...
Last week.
Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather. This is the biggest thing to happen in UFC since DC beat, I don't even know.
Miocic, a week ago, that's what I'm saying. Since last week.
Is this bigger than DC beating Miocic?
Barely under, which is horrible that it's even up in that marker of MMA news, but it has gotten a lot of shine due to the fact that Bishop loose lips sinking ships.
So Adesanya posted a video of Brennan Schaub's Below the Belt podcast of Brennan talking shit about kickboxers and how the style just doesn't translate well to MMA, and it had a bunch of like gifts at the bottom of like Yanni guys, and you know, people are like, meh, what is this guy talking about? If you haven't seen it, you can look that up. And then Adesanya puts his finger on Brennan Schaub's mouth and goes shh and shuts the computer. Dana White posts at Stylebender, Adesanya, Israel Adesanya, and says, hey, don't listen to this friggin' idiot, and go look these up too. And there's like literally,
we're paraphrasing.
I was gonna put up it, and I'm like, do I need to put up another video? There's 50 that you can find that are all doom clips
of all the
tweets. So the paraphrase, Dana White is like, don't listen to this blowhard, he's an idiot, his record was 6-5 in the UFC, he has no idea what he's talking about. Brennan Schaub tweets back and's like, yeah, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Listen to the fat, bald guy who's never been in a fight and he took a second from folding Ronda Rousey's laundry to get on the internet and say something. Then Dana tweets back and says, you would disappear if not for Joe Rogan or something. You're a bum or something like
that. Along those lines.
Then Brennan, it's like there was guys just...
throwing rocks at each other.
Throwing rocks. And Brennan was like, oh, I'm grabbing my AK.
I'm
going right to... Yeah. Missile launcher. I'm going right to it. Missile launcher. Friggin' launches in it. And that's age. You can see immaturity. If you want to look back, everyone can say, burn. It's so true. Just a little too much in a professional realm that you want to put out there forever with a guy as powerful as Dana White. You have no idea. What about if Zuffa Boxing is the biggest thing in the world 2 years from now and the best promotion for boxers, and you're Brennan with a show called Below the Belt and you can't get in?
You have no idea. You work for Showtime.
You don't burn a bridge while standing on it.
Right?
I'm all for it. People say don't burn bridges in life. Fuck that. Sometimes burn a bridge. You don't need to go backward. Yeah. But Brennan actually needs those bridges of combat sports right now. Don't burn the Dana
White
bridge.
That's how he makes his money.
Don't burn the Dana White bridge right now. Anyways.
Well, it's not only the Dana White bridge. He's also burning the bridge amongst many fans. I mean, he had a 5-meter kill radius. Not only does...
That's so true. Poor Ronda. She's over in WWE doing her thing. Moving on with Travis.
Yep.
They have this whole life. And then your ex-boyfriend it's not even like a like serious ex-boyfriend, maybe. It's maybe like an ex-boyfriend that you dated in college once that you don't even remember his last name.
You went to Australia once, people took pictures. Everyone knows you did the down and dirty, but that's it. There was no ring on nothing.
No one even took it seriously. People forgot you dated. Like, oh yeah, they were together.
With that kill radius, Travis Brown in there too. How do you think he feels? Your wife all of a sudden getting thrown under the bus. That's got to affect you. Excuse me. Woo! Got me.
Oh, and are we all assuming it's Ronda? Could it be Ariel Celeste? Could it be Brian Callen?
Could it be Whitney Cummings?
Whitney Cummings?
Alluding to last night on our Twitter feeds.
I cannot even imagine Whitney Cummings with Dana White. I cannot even imagine. At all.
Power and...
She's not into that.
I guess, that's right.
And it's weird, in my opinion, if you were into a guy like Brennan Schaub, you'd be into a guy like Dana White. And a lot of people would say they're the same type of guy.
No, I don't think so.
Dana seems smarter. Dana seems like an intellectual, and it seems like you'd be to Brennan if you were into, like, a car that it looks pretty, but it doesn't run well.
Dana White's a boss. And yeah. Brennan Schaub is hustling and bustling, but definitely not paychecks.
He's not signing
paychecks by any means, where Dana's signing motherfucking jicks.
Yeah, they just seem like different things. I mean, even funny, like, I do like that the hashtag Brennan used, which would have been enough, in my opinion, is could you do your job? You could not do my job. I think that would have been enough. I think what Brennan's doing right now with his comedy and his podcast, he doesn't need to fucking have a sword fight with Dana White. He's doing his own thing. And whether or not he's friends with Joe Rogan, I think he could have been like, I'm super grateful to Joe Rogan. And I'm always going to help my friends out, too. Maybe you don't know anything about that. How many real friends do you have? I don't know. Yeah. Something. Instead of bashing Dana's relationship with the Fertitta, we all know this shit. He isn't saying anything new. I just think he could have taken a sauna, worked out. You said it.
Beat off a little bit. Jerk it off. Then think about your tweet. Pass it by a friend first, because that's one of those that as soon as you hit send, you go, no! You try to grab it. No! Because nobody has said anything. Dana White has only reposted some, like, tonight on Fight Night free fights. But there's been no comments via Ronda Rousey, Brandon Schaub, or Dana White.
It's Travis almost like Brown, you put a revenge porn out on Facebook, and then you're like,
oh. I think legalities may come, because there is levels of defamation potentially here. We are in America. Sue happy motherfucking country.
This is America.
Woo!
This is America. Get your lawyer. Get your lawyer.
Had your kids, had your wife, get your lawyer.
White America. It's white America.
This is that white collar crimes going on here, and people getting sued all day.
Anyways, I guess we are doing a fight breakdown.
So, definitely, going to be keeping you posted on where that goes, because there's still a lot of news coming down the way from that. Back to the
Look at all of them fights. If you don't know, but I can't imagine you listen to us and don't know about this. But if you don't know about it, I'm a little jealous, because you'll like get so much enjoyment.
Yeah, you're going to have a good 3-4 hours of just, oh,
and
Gift
I was
City
like,
everywhere.
Originally, I felt like Brennan Schaub must have felt. Like, originally I was like, burn, Dana, burn! And then as I sat on it,
Oh shit. Yeah, immediately I was like, oh shit.
This is so big. It's like he like lit the principal's car on fire. Yeah.
Like, ooh, I did it. I think I went a little too far.
He pushed her all the way down the stairs.
Yeah. I didn't mean to. It's when you hit your little brother or sister and then you try to shut them up. You're like, oh, shh, be quiet.
It's like pushing Aunt Lydia down the stairs and then you just don't kill her all the way.
Yep. It was an accident.
And nothing in that, as far as I was concerned, it hurt Dana White. Dana White's still sitting on $500 million.
Agreed. He's already cashed his checks.
Nothing in any of that thing really hurt. His relationship with the Fertitta brothers has been called out since the beginning.
Of course.
So that's nothing new. And all it did was add to his legacy of that he hooked up with Ronda Rousey, which a lot of people assumed anyway.
In my opinion,
he just made Dana look cooler.
To an extent, the only thing I can think of is the whole marriage thing, but as we were saying in the background, people at this level have
arrangements
where it's, I guarantee you the arrangement Mrs. White has is, don't let anyone else know about it, and we good. Which
you
officially
drive your Bugatti, you fly in your private jet, you carry your Birkin bag,
You keep my credit card full, and I raise your kids.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep, that's it. As long as it doesn't get out, I'm sure she's okay with it. It got out, so that's where I see
these
legalities coming.
But he is in trouble because it got out.
Yes.
Because the wife's like, look, motherfucker.
Yep.
You made me look like a fool to our kids.
And that's exactly it.
I am supposed to be the queen. I want all of our daughters to be seen as queens. I want men to treat them good. What are you doing? And he knows he's in trouble.
He's in trouble no matter what.
It'll cost him like $1 million, a good diamond ring, and a party where him and his wife will renew their vows. They'll invite all their friends over to like $1 million party in like Italy and renew their vows.
Totally. Somebody else who really let me down though over the weekend, mean Keith Jardine in that Escobel fight in the second round.
I already forgot Escobel about the fight.
Escobel ended up being down 2 rounds, maybe 1-1. Keith Jardine, Escobel comes into the second round saying, did I lose those 2 rounds? Keith Jardine says, oh, no, you're good. When any of the corner, even if you think it's 1-1, the thing you say to every fighter in the third round is, you got to finish him.
We need this.
You got to finish him. If it's going anywhere near a decision, you never say, oh, you're good, just keep doing what you're doing. So if Jody Escobel does not move camps, I'm fading her hardcore from this point out. That was some of the worst corner I had heard in a very long time. But
agreed.
That's all you're going to hear about that one. fade on both of them. Then we went on to the bantamweight division. Mark De La Rosa defeating Elias, Cousin Pettis Garcia, coming off of the looking for a fighter submission round number two. De La Rosa didn't look that good against Elia, but that experience really showed off in this fight. Did whatever he wanted. Garcia started to fade after that first round heavily after a few of those body shots on the ground. Really got overwhelmed. I had De La Rosa on a lot of my cards, and he really paid off with over 100 points on DK.
Awesome. I did not have him anywhere.
Did you end up having Garcia anywhere?
No.
I don't think so
either.
It
hurt me really bad. It was like Garcia looked like
Pettis.
Like Pettis.
However, back in the day when he would break
like
a little bit.
We all watched that footage too. It was like you can't do old footage. There was nothing new out of the Rufus Sport camp, and I didn't love it, but I did like everything I saw from De La Rosa, and I'm still interested in both guys going forward. Okay. I thought it was actually a fun fight, and I did think Garcia tried to put out, he was trying to be exciting. He was trying to show fans up, but homie, you haven't been here long enough. Don't worry about exciting fans. Just worry about winning fights.
Yep, get the experience in the ring while you can. Then we had a flyweight fight. Liz Carmouche, the gorilla herself, defeating Jennifer Maya.
Carmouche!
A lot of us seen this coming. Uriah Faber's long-lost twin ended up using her wrestling the entire fight, really manhandling Maya the whole time, but we saw an Invicta fighter going in against UFC title contender. Carmouche is finally starting to put it all together a little bit later in her career. Gas Tank was really good under her, and she understood the fight IQ to keep the fight where she wanted. I think we got a dark horse back in the division with Carmouche. Maya, you need your cardio and your off of your background game to really step up. But you learn. She's going to grow more from this fight than any fight she's had before. We've seen it before. How do you feel this one went down?
One of the nicknames for my cat is the Moosh. And I don't know how I didn't ever realize it, but once they started calling Carmouche off her back, and my wife's like, what did they just call her? Is her nickname the Moosh? And I'm like, well, it is now.
Now it is.
It is now. And I liked everything I saw from Liz. Yep. She had amazing cardio.
Yep.
Amazing. She looked really good. She looked young in there. Was that the 125?
That was at 125.
Yeah,
so she moved up.
She moved down from
135.
So, yeah, I think she's found her stride at 125. And honestly, she is the most dangerous person in the division for Shevchenko to go against. I think one fight and she gets the title shot. She could get the title shot anyway. Montana is not going to show up.
Which all of the rumors have been saying over the weekend that everyone knows one side of the bout agreement for the 125-pound belt division against Nico Montano is signed. We all know what side is signed.
We all know.
We all know Shevchenko. So everyone being like, oh, my sources, get the fuck out of here. Everyone's got the same sources. Everybody knows.
Everyone knows half the 50% who have signed.
Everyone knows that, you know, tonsils take like a year to get over after surgery. So everybody knows you're getting ducked. Shevchenko's definitely getting ducked. And I'm sorry. Gotta call it like I tease it by this point out.
And you know we're ride or die bullet.
Yep.
Here. We love Valentina. But I'm ready to put Planet Valentina up here.
Ooh.
And move in someone else that's the long shot. We've been on her train since way before everybody
sure.
else.
Have been
she
with
was
Masvidal
a long shot in the division. So, yeah. So, I'm ready to, like, pick a new woman. Like, maybe it's the Moosh. Who knows? But I'm ready to pick somebody else. I just feel like we're not going to lose Valentina.
Sure.
But
Sure. She makes it on the Wall of Fame.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. We all know she's a champion of 125. Everybody knows it. If you don't know it, you ain't watching.
So still growing in the divisions. Fun stuff coming around. Actually, one of the better lady fights we had over the night was this Maya versus Carmouche as far as technique-wise. Great ground control. I just watch it again. Watch those transitions. Then we went on to the featherweight division, 145 pounds, debuting Rioni Barsolis, defeating Kurt Hollabaugh in an uppercut from hell.
It was a fun fight.
It was a hell of a fun fight. I didn't think Barsolis was going to be able to keep that pace up, and he did for all three rounds. Crazy, crazy strikes. Tons of power from Barsolis. 5-time national champ out of Brazil. That one ended up slipping my mind a little bit. Hollaball looked good in there eating all those shots, but death by a thousand power punches, because...
All right hands.
The finishing composition.
Uppercut
straight right to a uppercut.
And then like a,
from
like,
his
yeah,
hips.
Unreal.
Oh, unreal. Definitely the wrestling as well. The timing from Barzolas in those shots were unreal in that first and second round. We got a heavy motherfucking hitter at 145. I overlooked him. I gave a little too much high. I still think Hollaball is somebody to watch. I think Hollaball beats a lot of guys with what I saw. Good head movement, good transitions, good wrestling defense. But it was that pace. That cardio that Barzolas had is going to put a lot of people out of it. I guarantee it.
Pace with power.
With
very
IQ.
Dangerous.
He was throwing in takedowns after those power shots right off. It was beautiful stuff. Really, really, really fun fight to watch.
I don't
like
know
both
how
of those
I feel
guys.
About Hollaball going forward. I didn't like how many of those shots that he ate, and I thought his head stayed too much on the center line. Am a little, but I want to see him fight again in the UFC. It was exciting in there. Everything from Barzolas, wow. I can't believe that I was
overlooked
that. What an exciting fight, but also that maybe it wouldn't have been as exciting if the dance partner wasn't there. So Hollaball got to go somewhere with him. I like both guys going forward, maybe. Depends on who their dance partners are, but you'll have to remind me about Barzolas. I might not remember this.
Definitely.
Night. I might not remember this night.
I agree with that. It does get a little fugazi the later we get onto it. And this is one of the main reasons at Flyweight we had different opinions here. But said Nurmagomedov, or Saeed, ended up defeating Justin Scoggins in the Bean's portrayal of one of the biggest robberies of the year. Lesbo doesn't seem to think so, but it was there was one knockdown in the second round for Scoggins and one takedown in the third round for Nurmagomedov. And that was really it. Other than that, the striking, did it double up? Did said double
this
up on
the
striking?
This is the one that we talked about 1,000 times.
We did.
In the first round, though, we thought was a 10-8. Was this the one?
No.
So many of them were so weird.
Such a crazy
night. I think this is the one that I actually thought Saeed had round 1 and 3 and Justin Scoggins had round 2.
But, and we, with the
was
knock,
that a,
yes,
was the
yes,
in two?
And people are saying whether round 2 should have been a 10-8 because Scoggins knocked down Saeed in the second round, but with Scoggins' low fight IQ, what he did there that was very dumb, he didn't swarm him. He backed all the way up off of that knockdown where he should have swarmed on him and made a definitive 10-8. It should have been a 10-9, but it all depends on that first round where you gave it to, and I do believe Saeed edged out the striking by a fraction of a hair, like maybe 10 more strikes than Scoggins. Though that 10-8 round, that's for me. Anybody gets dropped, it should be an automatic 10-8. If you get dropped from a punch,
it's like a takedown. If somebody takes you down and you roll right back up, then like you have to control it a little in the end zone. You have to have control in the end zone. So if you get punched and you are not flat on your back,
but
you're
you
not
fall
flat
on all
on
fours.
Your face, on all fours to me is not down really. Like taking a punch and going, you've saved yourself from going all the way down. You've kept composure. Like, it's not all the way. It's still a wrestling night. Like, that's a start position from American wrestling. That ain't all the way down.
Like maybe football.
and even football, too. I don't know. Even having one knee.
In boxing, it would have been a knockdown, but this is MMA.
And I am all for giving it 10-8 if we get even wider with the scoring altogether, where the one round we saw from another fight later on, then maybe that round with two knockdowns could have been a 10-7, but we never see 10-7s. Like, that's where it's like, I'm okay with making it a 10-8 if the same knockdown flat on the back isn't also a 10-8. You know what I mean? It's like people never even 10-8.
I hear what you're saying, and there needs to be changes. We were over the old
rules. The
rules
are garbage.
I think there is a systemic
issue. Half the places do different ones. We hear what rule set we're under every night. How could I even train my fighter for that? Good grief. No wonder why would you take a fight on short notice? You have to relearn a whole different set of rule sets before you go into each thing and then work on your primal instincts?
So
I am crazy.
Would say at the very, I think Scoggins won that fight 29-28.
Well, see, even if So you gave him the first round.
Gave him the first round as well. Because even if
and
I...
And a 10.
And a 10-8.
Wow.
That's what I see.
I saw that. I think 1 and 3. I don't even... Because a couple of them were mixed.
Sure.
But I
sure,
think
sure.
1 and 3. So at very best, even if you were to 10-8,
it would be a
draw. Went to all fours. Which makes zero sense to me, because then we have to talk such squirrely. Yes. I'm going to bring it up to you, because I know your argument's on different fights, and then it's going to negate your whole argument for it. But best case scenario is a draw.
It is a draw.
Yeah, for Scoggins. So I think a lot of people that were biased had Scoggins to win the fight.
I would agree with that, that I did have a bias, because I had the underdog at a plus 145. I even put a free bet out, got to throw it out there, +425 inside the distance Scoggins, which I gotta say, I felt pretty good. If there was one knockdown that entire fight, it was Scoggins getting the knockdown, right?
I don't know. I think there's knockdowns and there's, like, I don't know.
So I think we have to agree to disagree, but that's why you listen to the show. We can't think alike.
Yeah.
Because that is boring as shit.
It would be boring.
So
it'd be like listening to Anik and Florian.
I don't know, but I like the comparison. I like where you're going there. Aiming for the top. So then we had another squirrely ass card with Alexander Volkanovski versus Darren the Damage Elkins. Darren being hurt all sorts of first, second, third round.
This is the fight. This is the weird rounds.
So if we're going for 28-29 round, or 10-8 rounds, two knockdowns potentially in this fight, and we had a split decision over the end of the night, Darren Elkins getting one of those rounds, 29-28 all the way around, and I believe it was the second round they gave, one of the judges gave to...
That's where I might be confused on the last fight.
Yeah.
I don't even know what round I gave Scoggins. I could have eked out every round for Volkanov, or I don't even remember. Like, it was such a shit show, and my head went through, had to go through each... you guys all know what I'm talking about if you watch this night of fights.
Yes. So, do you think Elkins, at any point in time, was even close to this one?
I felt like my final, when I added up, I think Darren Elkins had round two, maybe eked out round two.
I remember
two.
You saying that last night as well.
Like maybe he had a couple like more punches in round two.
Yes, and
but
that's a good point.
But I also felt like I could have given round one, made it a 10-7.
There was four rockings.
That's where I'm like, that round, because they gave, that wasn't even, I don't even think they gave that a 10-8.
They did it. It was a 10-9
so
round.
That's where it's like, if that isn't even a 10-8, how can we make Saeed on all fours a 10-8?
That's a good point. It's a really good point.
Like,
it's a good point.
That brutal too. Like, I would have called the fight.
Yeah, a lot of people could have called the fight.
Yeah.
Only because it was Darren Elkins that they let that go on.
Yeah, they just let it go.
Ugh, that was brutal a few times in there. So... definitely going to be looking forward with...
But it shouldn't even been a question of whoever, somebody... It should not have been a question who won that. Every single round. If it all went to... If it was 10-9...
It should have been 30-27 easy.
Yeah, but easy. I had it 29-27. Because I had the middle round for Elkins. But I had a 10, at least a 10-8 for round one.
Right. Yeah, 29-27 sounds totally right to me. Now that I'm thinking about that... Real quick, where do you go with Saeed and Scoggins? Scoggins already been on a 3-fight losing streak, low fight IQ, nonstop, can't bet him worth anywhere. And Saeed coming off of his first debut, controversial decision win, gonna be tentative.
I'm not feeling confident about him going
forward. Yeah, I agree with that too. I totally agree with that. With Volkanovski and Elkins, they both are going to beat a lot of guys going forward. Volkanovski looks like he got the direct top 5 contenders shot in there at that division at 145. Elkins beats a lot of other guys, but the Damage, he's one of those fighters that I grind my teeth every time I watch his fights, because I'm like, dude, it hurts so bad.
He
looks so stiff when he gets hit.
He takes so much damage.
Every time we see him in there.
He should get a tattoo on his chest that looks like staples holding flesh together that says the Damage.
Oh, Brutal. On to Alejandro Perez versus Eddie Wineland. This ended up being a 3-round decision.
You thought Wineland won.
I thought Wineland had... I had Perez. I thought Perez won, but I thought Wineland had better punches and more punches landed throughout it, even though Wineland was way more cut up by the end of this fight. And Perez... does what he does. I mean, there was, this fight was, I feel, pretty much exactly as we called it. Everyone saw a decision coming for Perez, and it was going to stay boxing, very limited wrestling. Wineland was also...
I thought you said Wineland won last night.
I thought it was a close...
You thought the judges were wrong from this point on, pretty much. Except for the there was
a couple other ones, I feel like. The Renaults, because we were about to get there, but
yeah, that was totally right. Yeah, I could have sworn you really were upset at this fight last night, and you thought Eddie won.
I thought it was really, really close. Was this a unanimous decision?
I don't know. I think it was close. I don't even remember.
I think it was close,
honestly,
too. I ended up having Perez as a decision. I thought maybe Wiley made it closer than it was. I'm tentative on either one of these fighters going forward. I didn't remember too much other than they got into a boxing match. And that was pretty much it for this fight.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with either one?
I don't really remember this fight. I mean, exactly. I remember it. I feel like that both guys took a bunch of punches. I thought that, this is what I think of this fight. I remember it. It's all coming back to me. I think everybody thought Eddie was landing a bunch of punches, but Perez was, if you watch it in slow motion, he had great head movement and was staying out of the way the entire time.
Yep.
So everybody online that were like, what? Eddie should have had that round. I think if they rewatched the fight in slow motion, they would see that Perez was staying out of the way the whole time. He had very little damage on his face, and Eddie kind of got pieced apart. That's what I think happened in the fight.
Do you remember Eddie
Wineland?
So
I like Eddie going forward. I'm interested in him.
And Eddie.
Or not Eddie. I'm sorry. Perez going forward. What's Perez's first name?
Alejandro. So do you remember real quick Wineland opening his mouth and like taking weird deep breaths that whole fight? He kept it was really, really weird. I don't know how I feel about that moving forward as well.
His mouth guard was loose or something. Well,
he had his mouth wired shut from Eduardo back in the day over a couple years ago. So I'm like, ooh, is he having issues with that? Maybe something later, but...
Or maybe something that we will hear about.
Then. Yeah, he's like, my pin fell out of my freaking jaw because it's wired shut, homie, through the wire. Then we had Katsingano defeating Marion Renault. Three round decision. I thought judges were 100% spot on, but it was pretty one sided. Kat Zingano getting takedowns on stop fighting off all submission defense.
I don't think I've ever voted against Kat, and I don't think I've ever voted on Marion. And this time, I did, and Kat looked amazing.
Kat looked better than she has ever looked.
She
by
handled
far.
Marion Renault.
Yep.
Her
definitely
takedowns
one sided.
Were crazy. Her body looked strong, really strong. She looked better than her last fight. I liked everything I saw from Kat Zingano. I think she's dangerous I think she's making an actual, where it's before when she was like, I want that Amanda fight. Ugh, I was like, oh, no, Kat. But maybe another one or two wins. That division's not deep. It might be
agreed.
A rematch.
Agreed, not deep
Kat's
at all.
Kat's the only person to beat Amanda, right?
Yes. Yeah, finished her.
So
with knees.
That's really interesting.
There is. Did you hear that primordial scream at the end of the round?
Joe Rogan's banshee scream. He loves that cat.
He loves
that
cat.
She did it just for him.
Yeah.
She did it just for him.
So, moving forward, it's going to be super tentative on Renault.
41.
Definitely putting a showing in for the age in there.
She's going to be back, and Kat put out a really nice tweet about her, like, you're a warrior, my sister, or something, and it's really nice. What's ladyship?
As we've said it here at Latvi multiple times, the women's divisions are a bit different than the men's. 36 years old isn't old as it is in the men's division, and I think we're seeing that with Carmouche as well, as we were talking about earlier.
The Moosh,
now that she's a bit later, but... Still, she's finally
They're
hitting her stride.
They're not taking that head trauma.
It's just a little bit different. Different game plans. Then we had the main card ended up starting with Kat versus Renault. Then we had Chad Mendes coming back after almost 3 years off of the sauce. And against Miles Jury, most people had Mendes, and he ended up finishing this round one. Ended up hurting him with a set-up left hook and then all over the ground. Miles Jury did defend, but it was probably 15 strikes semi-defended. Ref came in and stopped it. It was the right call. Is Mendes back, or does Jury have no chin? How do we feel about this? Jury's only lost 3 times ever, all in the UFC, against top contenders.
I don't think Jury has no chin. I think he's actually still a one to watch. He's a young enough guy, and it was called a tad bit early, so it wasn't that he was even all the way clean.
It wasn't a clean out by any means.
You were saying he was keeping up good defense the whole time, and what else did you want him to do during that moment? I did think Chad looked good. I'm excited to watch Chad going forward. I wonder if it was some good time off. He shook off the ring rust well, but he's fighting champions at Alpha Male probably every day, so... I was excited. That was worth it. That was worth the whole night, just seeing Chad in the octagon again.
If that was worth it, the next fight, Randy Brown versus Nico Price, here, the Bean, should have stayed on Nico Price. Been a moneymaker for a long time here at Lat B. I decided to go with the rude boy, and I was rudely interrupted. Nico Price getting a hammer fist finish off of his back. First time I've ever seen this in the octagon. He ended up swiveling Randy Brown's head into his foot and cupping it, kind of darshish, without having that shoulder in, and then finishing it with a hammer fists in the beginning of the second round. I mean, what do we have to say here? Nico Price, clear streak to the top five, top 10 guys at 170 pounds. Power from everywhere, Nico Price. Very unassuming cat. Very, very unassuming. Size-wise, Randy Brown looked a whole head bigger than him. Hips. Do you remember their hip levels? We're like, dang, Randy Brown looks huge.
Super tall.
Super tall, super long, gangly. God, that was just... If other people implement those shots...
If you guys didn't see it, even his ground game looked really good, and Randy Brown looked dangerously long, and even stand-up, everything. It was a really great fight.
That knee in the first round that Randy Brown almost landed. He barely had to lift his knee. Remember, they highlighted it, and we were like, Jesus.
He hit right in the head.
Jesus, Randy Brown is
tall.
In the
forehead, I think.
Yeah, and Randy Brown just flicked it up there, but that's how big he was compared to Nico Price.
But the finishing sequence it was actually Nico Price was in a little bit of trouble and did some really nice transitions. He gets his freaking ankle up, nestles, like hammocks the back of Randy Brown's neck, for the perfect leverage so he can also pull his leg forward as he's punching. So it's like a squat.
Yep.
Pulls his whole body. It was really, a crunch. Like he...
Yep, threw it. He
really
pulled and pushed at the same time.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the most interesting moves. It should be in that sequence of great, weirdest things to happen in UFC. It should be on there.
Oh, totally.
That is such a cool, cool move.
Such a great setup.
I love Nico Price going forward, but
yes.
I was high on him before.
We have been.
I thought he would beat Randy Brown.
The interesting thing,
you
did have him on everything. Actually, DraftKings-wise, I ended up putting Nico Price everywhere, and Rude Boy, not so much due to the DK pricing. Should have just made that bet as well on Nico Price. I'm overthinking these fights sometimes. The interesting thing that I want to bring up, though, in boxing, Lennox Lewis did this all the way to a title where he would cup the back of the head and throw the punch. That's illegal in boxing because it doesn't allow the head to fully move back, causing the brain to then knock out. That's what Nico Price did on the ground. And if people start doing that, DC will grab the back of the head and throw that uppercut too. People are starting to figure that out with other limbs. Nico Price might be at the forefront of that after this, like... I would start to train that immediately.
Well, John Jones, too, like, grabs with the elbow.
And then the elbow, exactly the same.
So I think a lot of the guys are using it in different techniques. That was just a whole new one of using your body. Like, what up, feet?
Love it.
What
absolutely
up, feet?
Absolutely love that. Then we ended up going back to the 45ers at featherweight. Rick Glenn defeating Dennis Bermudez in a 3-round decision. This one, I don't care. I don't care at all. There is no way that you get 4 takedowns in 1 round and you don't win that round. Rick Glenn on one judge's scorecard had 30-27. I could see 29-28 for Rick Glenn for sure. First and third round potentially due to the output over Bermudez. But
I don't remember what round it was, but there was a round where there was 4 takedowns.
Second round.
And we even looked up the strikes.
6 takedowns for Bermudez in the whole fight.
Yeah, we even looked up the strikes, and Rick Glenn threw 8 more strikes than Bermudez in that round, and Bermudez took him down 4 times.
4 times. So Rick Glenn won the first round with just a little bit more output on the strikes, but then 4 takedowns in the second round, I would say that's a 10-9 for Bermudez, and then 2 takedowns in the third round for Bermudez. How much higher output did Rick Glenn have? I think it was like 20 more strikes, though, in the second round compared to Bermudez's landed.
Yeah, I mean, he might have had more strikes in every one of the rounds, and then Bermudez had the 6 takedowns.
Which we've seen multiple other fights, and I feel
six
like there was
or something.
One fight earlier in the night where Norm said
Nurmagomedov.
One, he got one takedown in the third round and won a fight, controversial fight, 4 takedowns, and it was a 10-9 round for Rick Glenn in the second round. There's no way you can justify those odds at all.
That fight, I did not understand how Rick Glenn won. I kept asking you, is he local? Is he from there? Because I do not understand.
That one is one
that
is a robbery.
I thought was a robbery.
So, if there's a... If the judges were a little off on that, they could have been rough earlier in the night.
I thought there was 2-1
for
that.
Bermudez.
I didn't think it was all 3.
I would agree.
And there was one round that was close, but we were wondering if they were boxing judges only for it, and they didn't give 2 shits about takedowns. You know, like...
But that's the inconsistency.
That's the inconsistency of the whole
sport.
Whole
night.
The whole sport with every single state.
Yeah. And commissions and all that.
It's the hard part of betting.
It definitely made it rough to watch. I wasn't super heavy on Bermudez, though, all the way around, betting-wise or anything.
I played him on a few. I was a little disappointed that he lost that. And who did I think he was?
Jimmy Rivera. I would agree. I would totally agree. I always get those guys mixed up.
Didn't he just get knocked out in Orlando? Didn't we watch him get knocked out? And you're like, who was that? It was blending in my brain, all these fighters. Yeah, so, Bomsky. I don't like Rick Glenn going forward. Oh, but this is what I think. I think the fight was close enough that whatever. And the thing that cost Bermudez the fight is he walked out defeated the second the bell rang in the third round at the end of the round. Huh. He walked out with his arms down. Rick Glenn walked out with his arms up. And I think everything matters. So Bermudez looked defeated
at the
end.
You need to be confident.
So if the fight is close, you need to... No, we talk about even the... I feel like we've said it on the show a few times, the importance of the training in the gym when that round's over of them putting their arms up.
Yes, yes. I would always... Anyone I've ever fought or anyone I've ever trained, I've said that. I'm like, you hate me right now, put your arms up.
So
like,
anyone...
Anytime.
Just listen to me here.
It's the truth.
In my opinion, it wasn't really a robbery. I won't say it was a robbery because now that I'm replaying it in my head, there were so many fucking screwy fights. Now that I'm replaying it in my head, it was a close fight, but Bermudez walked out with his arms down, and I think that cost him the fight. Replay it, watch it yourself, and you tell me what you think. You can even see him slap Rick Glenn on the back as acceptance of...
Right. Good job,
buddy. You won the fight.
Good job, bud.
Just saying, he looked disappointed afterward, but if you watch those last moments of it, I think it says it all. Alpaca Thesaurus, we might be talking at you. This might be a good little 3.5-minute breakdown where you can take the fight thing and break down the end and see what you thought. Yeah, it's a weird fight, and I know it's not a clicker. People aren't, like, hot into, what's going on with Rick Glenn?
Good point. Good point.
What's going on with Rick Glenn in the world? But it's just interesting that everything could matter, a psychological part of fighting that maybe people think about when they're leaving.
I think that you're bringing up a very valid point, and it's ways that we can adjust our betting standards in order to make money. Go make that money somehow. Gonna figure out a way to look
at
these fights.
Go make that money, Mendez.
Woo! Then we had the co-main of the night, 170 pounds, Zach Otto losing to Super Sage Northcutt in the second round. Dia Hammerfist. We see Hammerfist knockout maybe 3 times ever in the UFC. 2 of them being tonight. Throwing that out there. Wow. Second round. What I saw mainly in this fight is the game plan. It's the game plan of how to beat Super Sage. You take him down and grind him out. Otto did it for 2 rounds until he finally got hurt. What was the finishing sequence? Otto got hurt in those striking... Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. I gotta fucking completely bash these refs as quickly as I can. Because there was 2 stand-ups this entire night that were the worst stand-ups you've ever seen in your entire life.
This is the one that almost cost the fight.
Holy...
Was it Saeed?
Jeez. No, it was... I think it was a lady fight. Was it Renaud Zingano? And there was knees in another fight where they broke it apart. I believe it was a lady fight.
No,
someone was landing hammer
fists. There was somebody else on the ground that they broke up and stood.
It was Saeed Scoggins.
Yeah.
It was Saeed Scoggins on that takedown.
Yeah.
It was.
Does that change it?
Because with your control method,
yeah.
He didn't have control if the ref didn't even see he had control in order to stand him up. To say it.
I don't know.
So, there was a few squirrely ass stand-ups. This was one of them, I believe.
Or it was... Who was the hottest guy of the night? Who was the guy that everybody had?
Volkanovski.
Or was that fight? Volkanovski?
I think there was a few of the night, but these ref stand-ups...
Sorry, you guys.
We had a couple people retweeting it.
Drink too much Hendrix and smoke too many cigars.
Doing what we gotta do to stay awake for some of these late night fights.
Shot out of a cannon in the morning, and then it's like, oh, 1:30, and you get Dos Santos versus... Sorry.
With Super Sage, they're setting up fights for him to win. Otto looked like he didn't want anything to do with the striking at all. He looked very hesitant in the striking, but showed that a lot of people can take Super Sage cut down.
Super Sage cut.
And he can be just dominated in position. Those stand-ups, I feel like, really saved his life a few times in this specific fight. Sage, match-dependent. Otto, match-dependent.
I don't know, guys. I just want to thank Mr. John Anik and Mr. Jimmy Levine.
And Mr. Uriah Faber.
I want to thank Mr. Simon Cowell. He's such a... It's like, all right, buddy, enough with the, 13-year-old...
You are an adult at 22. You are an adult at 22.
Like,
you can't talk about it.
You can still be a nice Christian boy without talking like you're Eddie Haskell or something.
And then I was bringing up this engineering. Every time I hear him, he's like, engineering. If you drop out to be a fighter, you got to be like, I'm a fighter. When I get back in engineering at 32 when you're saying it, talk about it then. Right now, talk about fighting.
And if we're seeing everything... that ways to beat Sage, and he's at a camp like Alpha Male. Yep. Hey, guys, work on his ground game.
His takedown defense.
He has fine stand-up, fast hands, a good chin. Give the, not that they're not. We're acting like assholes, but.
True. Then again, Otto hurt Sage in the first punch of the night. Sage was dropped in that first overhand, right? Remember, Sage was like, I think I closed my eyes. I didn't feel it, but I got my bearings around me.
Do you think that was a 10-8 Otto?
I could see that being a 10-8 Otto. Good fucking point. But the finish came in the second round, so we don't have to question shit. We don't have to question anything.
Yeah.
He ended up finishing
that
it.
It might have been on the scorecard. They might have had it right.
It was a knock. Look at the replay. Sage's eyes rolled in the back of his head. So the main event ended up coming around all five rounds. Heavyweight bout. This was a snoozer all the way around. JDS looking tentative against Artem Lobov's older uncle, barely made it off life support and ended up staying alive for five rounds. It was just, I don't want to remember anything. I'm fading both fighters at this point forward.
Somebody said, there's levels to this game, talking about this fight with Dos Santos, and I'm like, I don't think you should be saying that about him. He didn't look all that great. If this other guy's the garbage everyone says he is, which I had him to actually win the fight, and I only had him winning maybe one round, Dos Santos didn't look great.
Super tentative. This was... I don't want to immediately throw it in with...
Ngannou Lewis, but that's the new heavyweight style of
standard.
Fighting.
Yeah, the new standard.
If it's not DC Stipe, everybody else is coming out with this
So, Ivanov was at AKA working with DC and Kane for this, and which is why a lot of people were actually hyped up against Dos Santos. There was what I really hate about this once I saw all of the people weighing in. Ali Abdelaziz came in saying Ivanov needed to have surgery and decided to take the fight. That's why he didn't look so good. Excuses.
I agree.
Don't ever fucking bring it up after he has a shit show. Because if he won, would you have said anything? Probably not.
No.
So you shut your damn mouth because it makes the sport just look that much worse. In my point of view, it's just, it tries to take away from Dos Santos, and Dos Santos, again, super tentative, got rocked by a 205er.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I don't like Dos Santos going forward, but I haven't liked him for years now.
Both guys gonna really be super, super tentative, off, super scared. This was a night to not remember. We're gonna see a couple highlights from it, but we're also gonna just, Idaho, I don't know if you deserve a card for a little bit. That was atrocious. And I don't know if it's your fault, if it's really your fault.
I don't go 50-50 on Idaho. Oh, oh, I'm upset.
What do you give the rating of the entire night out of 5 stars?
Oh, ooh. Wait, no, I thought you were going to say 10.
10, okay, let's go out of 10, because we like the 10 standard here. Yeah. 4.
3.5, 4 stars.
I like 3.5.
There were some good fights.
Oh, there was some gnarly knockouts.
There were some good finishes. I just think there was a shitty ass cherry on the top. It was like you ate the whole cake and saved the cherry.
Judges and refs, again.
Judges and refs were awful.
And refs, Herb motherfucking Dean. In the main event, eye pokes. So you weren't a fighter. You warn him again. He then pokes the eye. You give him a third warning, which shuts even off's eye.
Let's stop putting Herb Dean in the main events.
What is going on?
Or anything. Even look at the Derek Lewis and Ngannou speaking
of it.
Oh,
look at the Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic.
Like, yeah, exactly. Let's stop with Herb Dean and the Octagon at these
big
fights.
And I remember telling you a few times, look at JDS's hands. He was moving forward with his fingers open, multiple times open.
So
yeah,
3.5. This weekend, 3.5. Yeah, that's
3.5. We do have fights coming up this weekend. We're gonna keep it hot rolling. We have Anthony Smith coming in to murder Shogun. Hoo-ha! A lot of people.
Who do you have? He just said coming in to murder.
Who you thinking? It's going to be another fight night, 134 on the way. There's some fun ones on that bout. Hopefully we get out of this little stump we had this last
weekend. Are you going to tune it? Because I know everyone knows I am a little B-Shop lover sometimes. Are you going to be tuning into Fighter and the Kid or Below the Belt to hear if Brennan talks about it or wait for the highlights?
I'll wait for the highlights all on my Twitter feed. I just can't stand a lot of it. I really am curious, though. As the angle, because Bischoff has already come back and apologized for a few things, and that's his MO. Like, all right, guys, I overstepped my bounds. I'm sorry, but I think he, like as we said, burning bridges. You can't rebuild a burned bridge. Sometimes you can't fool me twice.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me again.
You can't fool me twice.
All right, so I guess that's it. Thanks for listening again, and we will see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Let Be. For all things Lesbo and the Bean, head over to lesboandthebean.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.